The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Glenn Hill is down boundary side for Prestige Jayco. We're in footy spotlight for Rex Gurrell and HMC Flooring. And we say hi to Glenn Hill again, who's with Matthew Knights.
Thanks, guys. And Matty, thanks for joining us again. Coming off a big win last week against the Crows. Must be confident coming off that win.
Yeah, it was. It's been obviously the post-bye. You've had a couple. The Port game, we weren't at the level, got fixed up there. I thought we bounced back really well against Adelaide last week. They were on top early, but I thought the last three quarters were really quite convincing the way we played and got on a number of areas. And it was just good to get back on the winners list. I mean, I know we're on top, but you still got to string wins together, and it's still important positions you're jockeying for on the ladder. So yeah, it's just we just got to make sure we keep winning to keep space between us and the next teams.
And it came with some sort of adversity with Patrick Dangerfield copping that heavy knock. I think it was in the second quarter, and then carrying that throughout the rest of the game. At one stage, sort of down to three rotations, but the guys pushed through.
Yeah, I said in my midfield meeting, I just paid homage to Pat's courage in that scenario. I said, oh, if it had been me, I probably would have been still laying there now. But he was just unbelievable. Like, I think we underestimate. I even do sometimes how courageous he is. And his attack on the ball is just, you know, he's always got eyes for the ball. And, you know, it's something that is a great tonic for us match day, but it's also a great leadership tool for our younger guys to see the way he goes about his footy. So, no, he's bounced back from that, and he'll be fully right to go tonight.
Nighty, you were tougher than you give yourself credit for. Thanks for joining us, as always, on K-Rock Footy, kinging up in the box with Chuck Berry, Justin Longmuir, Mickey Barlow and Pete Ryan from The Age. A late change, Brandon Parfitt out of the side. Gary Rowan didn't play in the VFL, and he's standing right behind you signing autographs. Can you tell us why Brandon Parfitt won't play?
Yeah, he's just rested tonight, Kingy. He's had a big year. He's played a lot of midfield time and forward, and after a couple of games, we're just going to give him a rest this week, and then Gary come in. Gary had that concussion from Port game. Has trained really well this week, and he was always going to come back into the lineup. So, yeah, that's the change, and that's the reasons. Yeah.
Okay. So, can you tell us why he wasn't named in the AFL team then on Thursday night? Because it had a lot of Cat fans perplexed why he wouldn't be just straight back into the side, especially when Chris said at the media conference on Wednesday that he was playing.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I can't probably shed too much more light on that. I don't tend to get involved with that stuff for the name of the team or anything. So, yeah, it was just one of those things that we discussed through yesterday. But Gary was, we were looking to play Gary sort of from midweek onwards, and then we just had to make the final calls on the other stuff yesterday.
Okay. Just to also to touch on, too, for those who haven't heard the news, Kevin Higgins, former Cat, has passed, and you'll wear black armbands tonight for him.
So,
sad news there. I'll throw it over to Darren Berry, Nighter.
Matty, look, we're in the cheap seats up here, mate. It's easy calling the game and having opinions. Much harder in the coach's box or actually out in the field of battle. Reece Stanley, I wanted to ask you about how he's assessed internally. He gets a lot of... we talk about him a lot. I thought he was the most improved player in the first half of the year. I've got to say, I've been a little disappointed watching him recently. How do you guys view his season internally? He keeps getting picked as your first ruck, and he's probably going to do a fair bit of it tonight, maybe with a bit of Blitzarv's chop out, but just the Stanley assessment.
Yeah, I think I will agree with you. I thought early in the year he was very strong with his ruck work, but also his work once the ball moved from the area, his second phase work, his follow-up, his tackling. And a breakout of CBs at times, which he gives us great penetration. I thought that was at a really good level for us early in the year. I think the last 2 weeks we haven't seen as much of that type of play in all facets. So, you know, Reece has worked diligently with Brad Alton's this week to try and establish a little bit more of that follow-up, a little bit more of the breakout stuff. And, you know, with his agility, he should be able to lay tackles for us also. So we've got high expectations of Reece because he's not a big man as in the size of other ruckmen around the league, but what he can do is he can do a lot of other work for us. So we're not basing his whole game on hit-out numbers.
Yep.
We'd be remiss in our coaching beliefs to do that, but what he has to do for us is that follow-up work, the tackling, creative play around the ground, marking around the ground. So that's what Reece has been judged on as well. So we want to see more of that now. Yep.
And I suppose the second part of my question, Matty, is perhaps on behalf of a lot of our listeners at K-Rock, and we have some passionate listeners calling in, just on where Zach Smith is at. Abbott's also there. We've got Darcy Ford as an emerging tonight, mainly a Ford, but can go into the ruck. And what is the best rucking setup as Geelong heads towards the business end?
Yeah, well, Zach Smith and Ryan Abbott both played VFL today and did a fair share of the ruck work in the VFL. I was really wrapped with Zach Smith's game against Sydney. I thought he was very good with his hit-outs. I thought he got to ground quickly and give our mids a good look at it. So I was really pleased. And I would say that the next week, it was pretty tight in selection. Reece got the nod. And, Zach's pretty close, though. He's right there. And then Ryan Abbott's probably not far behind that again.
Mm. For Prestige, Jaco speaking with Geelong assistant coach Matty Nice. He's Pete Ryan on K-Rock Football.
Just on that ruck topic, Matt, can you foresee a ruck setup if Asava comes back where Blitzarves plays in the ruck and you restructure your defence just to run with Blitzarves and Asava in support?
That's a good question. I suppose it's on the back of Blitzarves' form last week. Yep. He was outstanding. He did come into the ruck middle of game, which I think is a little bit easier against a ruckman that's already done a fair bit of work. So I think Blitz is an outstanding player and great in the ruck, but he's also probably one of the best fullbacks in the league. So it's a difficult one for us because, he's great in two positions, but... I still think he's probably best served for us in the back half. Even though I'm a midfield coach, I think that's where we've got to keep heading as a team.
Yep.
Matty, Justin Longmire here, mate. Western Bulldogs aren't a team that win a lot of hit-outs, but they seem to be right up there in the clearances. What have you made of their clearance work and what things you need to be aware of around that part of the game tonight?
Yeah, they're good at two things. Their first possession with Bontempelli, McRae, Dunkley, guys like that is very good. But then also their handball game on the back of their first possession is dangerous, particularly at an indoor stadium like this. They flick it around a lot, and if it comes off, it's difficult for any side to close them down. So that's one of their big ticket items, I believe, Justin, is the way they sort of do it and then share it from there. We're going to have to be, really on our pressure game. And also part of that, I think, is putting them on the back foot and winning our own share of ball around the contests and around the clearances. And sometimes not just clearances or stoppages, it's the contest you can win all over the ground at a stadium like this. Like, if you lose contests on a centre wing or at half forward, it can be just as damaging as losing it elsewhere because it's hard to cover up around that. So, contests are all around the ground are going to be important for both teams tonight.
Yep. Another aspect that they're really good at is their ball movement from their defensive 50 to inside 50. What sort of things have you spoken about in relation to slowing them down coming out of their D50?
Yeah, well, Johansson and guys like that, when they really go, Williams, Johansson, Easternwood, when they really go, they've got such power that if you give them a metre, it's nearly all over. So part of that is being very competitive in the contest so they don't get out to start with. And also our forward line is a fine pressure forward line, so whether it's Atkins, Myers, Delhouse, Rowan, guys like that, they can really close people down. So they've got to do that as a collective. I don't think it's any one person that can shut a Johansson down. That has to be a collaborative sort of group scenario, and also our mids play a part in that as well, that sharing the load so we can at times confront their high backs and make them stop in their tracks, which gives our chasers a good look at it.
Matt, just something down the track. Nakia Cockatoo's name is mentioned. He's obviously come back to training and you're still taking a softly approach, but he might be back in, within a month or so, all things going well. What plans do you have for Nakia in terms of where he might slot into this team? Is he going to play as a midfielder? What's your thinking at the moment?
Nakia is a brilliant centre bounce player. We haven't probably had too much to go off, but last year we went to Western Australia, West Coast, we played them early years, the game where we got a lot of injuries, and his centre bounce work was outstanding and before he got injured. So we see him as a centre bounce player in mid. Obviously he's such a good athlete, he can mark it over his head and he's dangerous in the front half. So one of those players that probably shares a role between mid and forward. That's where he would play. Just whether he can get back to that point this year, I'm not sure. It will all depend on the next 3 or 4 weeks and how he goes coming back into football.
Righto, Mick Barlow, I just want to ask a question around the Geelong philosophy. We see players come in. Clark, rising star nomination last week. Myers has been outstanding. Atkins, but for a lot of years, Geelong first-year players have come in and just seem to play with a lot of freedom and come in and take the competition by storm. We're seeing what Tim Kelly does. How much is that as a result of, I suppose, the philosophy of the coaching group about how much you're putting into them, or you're allowing them to play a lot on instinct, and kind of the balance of that?
Yeah, it's a good question, Michael, because I think sometimes when you're a young player, you come out of juniors and you've played a certain way for a long period, and then you come into an environment that's got 8 or 9 coaches, and there may be a propensity to get overcoached, and sometimes I think that can stifle a young player because they've gone from maybe having one voice to a lot of voices, which can be quite difficult at times when you're 18 or 19. So, yeah, we try to keep our messaging really consistent with them, e.g. a Jordan Clark. He started in the back half with Scarlo and the back group, which is a really good experience. He's moved up to a wing. I give him a couple of little key points every week, but not too much. And then we use Joel and Mitch Duncan and guys like that to sort of on-field coach him a little bit, both in training and games, which they get enormous amount out of. So, and then the part of it is, as you said, is match day, really backing them in to show their strengths. And go after what they're good at, because that's what gets us all excited. And seeing Jordan Clark tuck the ball under the arm and run and bounce and kick a long goal is exciting for the players, but it's also exciting for the coaching group. We love seeing that sort of stuff.
No, it was probably, my next question was exactly on Jordan Clark, the rising star. You've probably touched on his footy side of things. He looks about 13 years of age when we when we watch him, and Tommy Atkins said he's got no arse, so we call him Fry Pan Arse on K-Rock Footy. Jordan doesn't like it. I know he was a gun young cricketer in my sporting field, obviously, but what's he like around the group? He looks like he's got a bit of cheek about him, but is he quiet? Is he noisy? What's he like?
He's got a cheeky sense of humour. He's pretty dry and takes a bit to know him. He knows where his bread's buttered though, because he's not cheeky with the coaching staff.
Okay.
He treads warily around us, and but with the playing group, I've spoke to a number of different players within the group, and they love his sense of humour, and he's up and about sort of kid. So yeah, we really love him. Some of our first year players have made a massive impact on and off the field. Like Dalhouse is such a beautiful personality in the Rees. You know, he's serious match day, but then he has a joke and you can have a muck around with him. Tommy Atkins is different again.
Yep.
Gary Rowan's a really, you know, great character to be around in the locker room or in the coaching setup during the week. So I think our first year players have given us a real lift on and off the field. It's been great for us this year, the impact they've had.
We like to have a bit of fun on K-Rock Nighter. This has got nothing to do with football whatsoever. But I've
this
got
gets interesting.
Yeah, this is, well, this one, this will throw you a little bit. I've got to head to Mildura in a month's time for my teenage daughter's netball tournament up there.
Okay.
So I've got to do the big drive. And so one, if you could tell me where to stay. But secondly, I haven't been up there since the Youth World Cup. I was wondering if the Carlisle Club's still open.
Very fond memories of the Carlisle Club I've got.
I thought you might have.
Probably you have as well. And Dom's and a few other places. I actually left when I was 17, so I probably left before I got into too much trouble up there. My brother certainly carried on that legacy. I reckon he partied till he was about 30. So I'd stay at the Grand, which is down by the river, and
righto.
Nice hospitality. There's good coffee shops around and a few nice drinking places after hours.
Pencil it in, and I'll check in the old Carlisle Club and see if it's there.
Nida, how soon do you want Scott Selwood in your midfield?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd like to see him soon. I would, because I wanted Scott and Scotty, and talking to Scotty about this, we want Scott to come in when he's feeling $1 million, and I reckon he's pretty close to that. He's
another solid one today against Box Hill.
Yeah, form in the VFL's been great. He's super confident with his body. And I think you'll see Scotty in the next few weeks.
Look forward to it. Nida, always appreciate your time on K-Rock Footy. Thanks for joining us. Good luck tonight.
Yeah, all the best for the Carlisle.
Thank you.
Matty Knight's joining us there. Thanks to Prestige, Jake, of course, Tony and John Spence, and all the team on the Bellarine Highway at Newcombe, Australia's number one motorhome dealer.
The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.